It's Morning Edition on KUT. I'm Emily Donahue. Galveston Island is famous for many things. Its miles of beaches, its many festivals, and its Victorian architecture. And its seawall. That was built after the hurricane of 1900, the deadliest in U.S. history, and one that rewrote the story of Galveston. Texas author Elizabeth Black has set that famous hurricane at the center of a mystery in her first novel, The Drowning House. Just as Galveston's modern history is built on wreckage from the Great Hurricane, so is her narrative, set moodily in the city's historic district. Elizabeth Black joins me now from Houston. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.
When I read your book, I was struck by the language. It was as intricately wrought as the scrollwork on the Victorian homes down there. I mean, it was just every word mattered. I must have taken you a really long time to write.
Well, it did take a while, but it wasn't so much because of the way it was written as the fact that I had two active daughters and a full-time job.
So you were busy with two children and working a full-time job. How did you come to write this book?
Well, our vacations were mostly spent in Galveston because it was so easy for me to load the girls into the car with flip-flops and a couple of pairs of shorts. And we would go down there and do all of the usual tourist things. We would visit the beach and buy ice cream on the strand. And those locations, of course, do appear in the novel. But then as they got older, they asked me about the lines of people waiting to tour the historic houses. And they were interested and wanted to go. So I went too. And I answered questions about what a chamber pot was for and what a spittoon was for. And that was part of my thinking in writing the novel, answering their questions about what life would have been like for those people. And, of course, Stella Carraday, the character from the time of the Great Hurricane, actually grew up in such a house.
Can you introduce me a little to the characters and the plot of this book, which covers pretty much a century and links to very dissimilar families?
Yes, indeed. My protagonist, Claire Porterfield, is a young photographer who was born and raised on Galveston, but left the island suddenly and has been away for about 10 years. In the wake of the death of her young daughter, she returns to the island. She's been invited to curate an exhibition of photographs. But what's really on her mind is discovering the truth about her family, her upbringing, and her family's relationship with the wealthy Carradays, who live across the alley in a very large house on Broadway.
The city is actually a character in this book. The setting is as important as the dialogue, it seems. The city's mood, its weather, its culture. Tell me a little bit about how you brought it so fully into the narrative.
The city of Galveston is absolutely a character in the book, and in fact, the action couldn't have taken place anywhere else. I'll offer just one example of that. The layout of the city of Galveston is different from anywhere else. The houses on the north side of the street are larger because that is a more desirable location. Those houses receive the sun through their windows in the winter and the cooling breeze in the summer, whereas houses on the opposite side of the street on the south have neither of those advantages. So all across the East End, what plays out is this arrangement of larger and smaller houses. And what that did was bring together the social classes in a way that really didn't happen in other places. And this is how Claire Porterfield, who is the daughter of a small-town doctor, comes into contact with Patrick Carraday, who is the son of the very wealthy Will Carraday.
You have the dangling trees and the ivy-covered walkways and the sort of, you know, Galveston is known for its seaside culture, and yet this is a very dark and moody space that your characters occupy.
Yes, it is. I think that there is in Galveston a sort of tendency for things to come apart. And this is partly a result of the climate. It's partly a result of the fact that Galveston is a barrier island. It's really a very large sandbar. It's constantly moving. And the kinds of plants and animals that live there are adapted very much to that environment. And I think it's possible that the people that live there have also adapted to that specific environment. Galveston was also a place for many years where the laws of Texas and of the U.S. simply didn't apply. So people just went their own way and did what they wanted to do. So the sorts of constraints that prevailed in other parts of the country didn't operate in Galveston. And we know what that led to in terms of public behavior. We know that there was bootlegging, there was gambling, there was prostitution. But the question that I really wanted to answer was, how did it affect private life? How would you live in an environment like that if you had the kind of resources that the Carriday family did? And how would it affect the people around you?
You talked about how the people living there acclimatized themselves to the sort of dark soul of the city, of the island. And yet your protagonist has physically removed herself for several years and is returning as an outsider to her own past.
Yes, she comes back able now to look at things in a way that she couldn't when she was growing up. I think that as children, we tend to accept the reality around us the way it's presented, and we think of our world as the only world. And in a place like Galveston, which is so enclosed and so interconnected, people growing up there find that particular reality reinforced all the time. So in order for her to see the truth that she finally arrives at, it's essential for her to be away and come back with those fresh eyes. There is a sense in which homecoming is also a kind of discovery. In Claire's case, it's a discovery of her own past and a coming to terms with that past. And as a result of that, she is really at peace with herself for the first time at the end of the novel.
Elizabeth Black's first novel is entitled The Drowning House. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Emily.
You can read a longer version of this interview online at kutnews.org. I'm Emily Donahue with KUT News.